From KCRW in Santa Monica, this is The Treatment.
Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. You can also hear this show at KCRW.com. Well, it's the beginning of June, which means it's time to talk about the Los Angeles Film Festival. It's 17th edition, and here with me are David Anson and, well, Rebecca, thanks for coming back.
It's a great pleasure. Thanks so much for having
Rebecca
us back,
Yeldon,
Elvis.
Rebecca of the festival. Thematically, let's start with you, Rebecca. Were there things you were looking to do that you didn't get to last year? Because David's a pretty new addition to this whole thing, so...
David is a new addition. David joined us last year as artistic director and, to my great delight, came back. And I think we've created quite a formidable team now. And now that we know each other and know a little bit more about what we're trying to achieve, I think you'll see this year again tremendous consistency of quality. What we aim to do with the program is really present the best of the films that we've had the privilege of seeing, whether they be studio films, whether they be independents, whether they be micro-budget films, whether they be larger, more extravagant works from more established directors. And it's really, this year is really a continuation on what we sought to achieve last year with just excellence of programming and films that we want to bring to our audiences here in Los Angeles.
Well, no, David, there were things you did last year, certainly rarities that you brought to the festival. And I guess the thing we were getting at a little bit, and I want to follow up on this, is you're getting a chance to do something that you only view from the outside for, oh, your entire life, which is going from being a film critic to putting a film festival together.
Yeah.
And just the idea of looking to put things in that you've always wanted to see in the festival, how much of that you're getting to realize this year?
Well, you know, last year, of course, we did the Tori Nielsen, which, you know, we don't have the equivalent of that. Instead, like our international spotlight this year is focusing on new Cuban films, which arose out of a trip that Rebecca and I took to the Havana Film Festival.
It's a great festival,
in December.
Isn't it?
It's an amazing festival, yes. And we met with a lot of the Cubans in the film industry and decided that it'd be a great opportunity to bring a bit of Cuba back with us. And so we have four really interesting and completely diverse films from Cuba.
What are those films?
Well, they range from a documentary called Operation Peter Pan, which is a real eye-opener. I didn't know much about the history, but in the early 60s, 14,000 Cuban children were given away by their parents and brought to the United States and never saw their country or their families again. This was a very controversial program put together by the State Department with the Catholic Church, with an uncredited assist from the CIA, who spread a disinformation campaign convincing the parents that their children were going to be taken away from them and sent to Russia. And this film follows those kids who are now, you know, in their 60s, 50s and 60s, who grew up in the U.S., some of them happily, some of them tragically, some of them abused. They met for the first time, many of these Peter Pans, as they were called, and went back to Cuba for the first time, which is shown in the film. And all those Peter Pans are going to be here in Los Angeles for this screening.
Which is when?
Which is on June 23rd and 25th, I believe, or 26th.
Where is that going to be? Which venue will it be taking place?
It'll be the Regal Theaters.
The Regal Cinemas are again going to be our home base.
So you're back downtown.
Yes.
We're back
downtown,
yeah. We had, you know, as we discussed last year, when we decided to move downtown, it was a bit of a roll of the dice. We had been a West Side festival, and we'd been looking to find a new destination hub, and we thought that downtown would serve that intent very well, and in fact, it was an incredible experience. We had our most successful festival ever. 92,000 people showed up for the festival, with all sorts of new audiences evolving out of the East Side, but also with our, you know, our strong supporters and patrons from the West Side crossing over that La Brea Divide. And as hard as it seemed at face value, they came, and when they experienced it and experienced how exciting the festival was, they came back, and on the basis of that experience, we've decided to return downtown and really dedicate ourselves to making downtown our base for the future. And we'll be at LA Live and the Regal Cinemas, And we'll also be using some of the other wonderful venues downtown, the Red Cat, the LA Independent, Grand Performances, as well as hosting screenings at the Ford Amphitheater as well.
It's the treat. We're talking about the 17th edition of the LA Film Festival with David Anson and Rebecca Yeldum. One of the things I figured downtown's going to do for you is that, and David, we talked about this for years, film festivals have a personality.
Yes.
And a lot of that personality comes from a place, if you're lucky, a central location where the movies are, so you have to get lost trying to get back and forth. You can also find food, and it becomes a place where you can talk as you're waiting for screenings to start and find out about things. And clearly being downtown is going to really start to do that thing that I think this festival needs, is to give it that kind of concentration and personality.
There's no question. You know, we experienced last year a more diverse audience, a slightly younger audience. There was an energy in the air. I think anybody that spent time downtown at these amazing array of restaurants and late night spots and bars, or at the museums down there, I mean, case in point, look at what just happened with Art in the Streets and the graffiti exhibit. When you're down there, there's this incredible energy in the air and electricity, and people looking to extend whatever that cultural experience is with a whole evening or weekend's experience of extracurriculars. And we definitely want to encourage that downtown, and we see that as one of the strengths of the festival in its new incarnation, is really to congregate people in and amongst this incredible community that's really thriving in so many different ways.
I guess one of the things I find myself thinking about in terms of what this festival is becoming now is you want a festival to give a sense of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something, and I know we're talking about this, but that felt it was kind of missing before because it was such a hardship of trying to find a location with venues and parking, but also a place that people would go to. That was a really tough thing to pull off.
Well, and I think, too, that the content, the programming also, we hope, is a reflection of the city, of the audience, you know, that it reflects the diversity of Los Angeles. Now, we've got some extraordinary action stuff. We've got Elite Squad 2, which will just knock your socks off. I mean, it just, you know.
From Jose Padilla.
Yeah, it starts pedal to the metal and basically, never lets up.
Yes, I mean, the first one, which it's a film that's both action-oriented and intensely political.
And very political. And this one, I think, is actually an improvement on the first one. Yeah.
I think in that category, we can also talk about our amazing closing night film, which is Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, brought to us from Guillermo del Toro. Now, he's a producer on the film. He wrote the film. He's very much part of the key creative team behind the creature creations in the film. And it's a fabulous genre film starring Katie Holmes and Guy Pearce, and that will be closing night. And in fact, Guillermo's coming to the festival as guest director this year, and we'll be presenting that film and also presenting a film that inspired him, Pupiavati's Arcane Sorcerer. So Guillermo will be all over the festival this year.
It's a treat. With the festival we're talking about is the Los Angeles Film Festival. The 17th edition is taking place. What's the dates? Let people know.
June 16th to June 26th.
Will there be cultural things that are happening in connection with the festival, things outside of film screenings?
We'll be continuing on with our conversation series. What we built upon last year and really are going to continue this year because it was such a success were these non-film events that were conversations with some of the most exciting talents in our industry and in our film world here in Los Angeles. So we brought, for example, Ben Affleck and Jeremy Renner to the festival, and they showed a little piece of the town, which was the first footage that people had seen, and had a conversation about their process. Chris Nolan came down last year. Sylvester Stallone came down last year. And we're working now on building similarly an amazing array of conversations. We just locked in James Franco.
Yeah, James Franco is going to be here with the world premiere of his movie, The Broken Tower, which he directed, wrote, and stars in, which is a very daring film about the poet Hart Crane.
I guess what I wanted to ask you again, though, because you've been to probably too many film festivals in your life, and we talked a little bit about this previously, about things you've always kind of wanted to see in festivals, mm-hmm. and just not exactly a wish list, but just some things that would make sense. And I'm wondering how you followed that through this year as compared to last year.
Well, I think the mix is similar to last year in that you know, we have a huge collection of international films alongside all our premieres in our competitive section.
One of the things you often hear about LA is it's not a city that's particularly thrilled about seeing international film.
And well, we hope to change that. I mean, certainly there was an enormous turnout for our international films last year, which was very encouraging. And I think the kind of the mix, the variety of the foreign films that we're showing, half of which are documentaries, you know, from a extraordinary documentary about the Brazilian racing star, Formula One racing star, which is called Senna, which...
There's a great book about him, too.
I mean, you don't have to have the slightest interest in Formula One racing to be completely riveted by this movie. You know, we go from there to an amazing 4.5-hour movie by Raul Ruiz called Mysteries of Lisbon, which I think is the best thing he's done since his Proust movie.
Wow.
And it's just, you know, it grabs you, and it sounds like a long sit, but it's not, believe me. It just spins these wonderful, it's a 19th century period piece that spins stories within stories and grand passions and secret identities, and you get completely caught up with it.
I guess one of the things that you guys probably both want to see happen is just this festival identified as an event, because... It sometimes it would get a lot of coverage and sometimes it wouldn't. And I guess in trying to build some consistency, part of that it becomes about making an event that people know about.
Certainly. I mean, I think we really saw last year the level of awareness shifted. And we really saw last year that people were aware of the festival as a place of excitement, a place of discovery, a place where people wanted to congregate.
Of course, it helps to have a Twilight movie.
Well, that too. That was a fun stunt. But I think what we did, you know, last year with the program is there's an incredible consistency in the quality now of the programming, so that people come down and they know they're going to be delivered a treat, and hopefully multiple treats. And then hopefully by that audience reaction and what happens in the experience in those rooms, we can even change the fate of some of the films that we program and really help to build awareness in and around those films. I mean, we've heard from the distributors of some of the films that we showed last year that LA Film Festival was a real game changer for some of those films. We opened with The Kids Are All Right. Many films are in the festival that ended up being end-of-year contenders. And I think what happened in LA in and around those films and the excitement that we helped, you know, as a community to build for those films was really impactful ultimately in the life of those films. And we feel as strongly about the program this year. And we're certainly hoping again this year that audiences will come out and really get behind some of these extraordinary works and perhaps broaden and enhance the distribution opportunities for those films.
And some of the smaller films that last year that got recognized, won awards in our competition are now in theaters, like Make Believe, the documentary about the teen magicians is just opening now. It got its big boost when it won that Best Documentary Award at our festival.
And Thunder Soul as well. I mean, one of the things we're trying to do is build beyond, you know, the projection of the film experience, like a whole event around the presentation of these films. So, for example, with Thunder Soul, the band came out and performed. And
that was at the John Anson Ford, which were... at the outdoor theater across from the Hollywood Bowl, where we're continuing to show movies this year. That's the one event that isn't downtown.
Ah, well, we'll talk about all that. We're going to take a break. My guests are David Anson and Rebecca Yeldum of the LA Film Festival. It's The Treatment. There's more to come. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell from the studios of KCRW Santa Monica.
Welcome back to The Treatment, which you can also hear at kcrw.com. I'm talking to Rebecca Yeldum and David Anson about the 17th edition of the Los Angeles Film Festival. And you were just talking about the John Anson Ford Theater before the break. And are there events coming up there that you guys can talk about?
Yes. I mean, the John Anson Ford is one of the magical theaters, I think, in Los Angeles, which a lot of people don't know about. You know, it's outdoors. Last year's, Rebecca was saying, the evening with Thunder Soul with the band, I mean, people were literally dancing in the aisles. It was just one of the best nights of the year for many people. And this year we have a really fascinating mixture of things there, from this totally unique project called The Seduction of Ingmar Bergman with the band Sparks. It was a commission by the Swedish radio, and it's going to be turned into a movie, and Guy Madden is participating. He's going to be making it into a movie. This is kind of a movie to come, which you will see in process, with Guy Madden on stage directing, and Magnusson plays Greta Garbo. Ingmar Bergman is seduced. It's set in the 50s, and he comes to Hollywood, where he encounters a whole different world. It literally is a one-of-a-kind event. You will never have another opportunity to see this in this form.
But that venue, KCRW listeners certainly know it, and it's a venue that certainly has its adherence, and it's a way to sort of build events. And because something on the scale of this Bergman piece could definitely get audiences out.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if that's something that you guys have just been thinking about, ways to sort of like enhance that kind of experience, because there have been certainly films that have shown the forward in the past, but you're making it more about a real experience rather than just being a movie thing.
Yeah, we're always looking at the program. Once we've figured out what films we want to show and what films we're passionate about and what films we feel would be a gift to LA, we then try to think about how we can enhance the experience. So we're looking to eventize the films that we present. And as you say, the Ford is a perfect forum for that. You know, we'll be doing three nights there. The third film is the Tribe Called Quest film, Beats, Rhymes, and Life, and there'll be DJs spinning. And, you know, we want people that come out to the festival to really have a, you know, were you there moment, you know, and be talking about that experience for the rest of the year. But there'll be lots and lots of talent in and around the festival participating in the film experiences.
Well, since we've been talking about these films, the number of films that played at the festivals, and I think one of the great things this festival is now doing is not trying to enforce this dictum of premieres that just becomes a matter of exercise of ego more than anything else.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, and we've talked about that before. If you're chasing world premieres, you're really denying your audience an opportunity to see, you know, some of the great films that might be out there that maybe they didn't get a chance to see because they weren't at Sundance or they weren't at Berlin or they weren't at South By. And, you know, we take great pride in presenting world premieres and North American premieres, and about a third of our program fit that category. But we also love to bring to audiences here just these great films that we were privileged to see on the festival circuit over the last 12 months.
And we still do have about 30 or more premieres this year. There's a lot of new stuff, and almost everything in our competitions is brand new. We have a completely a new Los Angeles-based musical, which is another one-of-a-kind movie called Leave It on the Floor. Which, have you heard about this, Elvis?
Yes.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's the world of voguing, which people will remember from Paris is Burning. Choreography and music by Beyoncé's people, her dance master and her music director. It's unique. You know, it's a full-on original African-American gay musical. And it's something to behold.
Words I live my life by. Words to behold. It's The Treatment. My guests are David Anson and Rebecca Yeldon of the LA Film Festival. But in hearing you guys talk about this, I mean, I just like the sense of excitement that you guys have here. Because one of the fun things about a festival, and I've talked about this with both of you guys on various occasions, is being in a theater when a movie really connects with an audience. Mm-hmm. And you can sometimes be sad about that because you realize you're seeing this movie in Venice or Cannes or Sundance and Toronto, and you just think, God, this may never play anywhere else ever again. And that kind of peculiar institutional arrogance that has suffused a lot of the film festival culture, I'm glad you guys have found a way to shake that off here. because that experience should be shared by as many audiences as possible. That's and sometimes these movies just won't be able to find any distribution.
There's nothing like being in that room when you experience a discovery or something for the first time, and we've all had the privilege of experiencing it all over the world, but you know, we are, I mean, it's one of the reasons David and I are here dedicated to this festival doing what we're doing is we believe in bricks and mortar, and we believe in congregating, we believe in bringing people together, we believe in the excitement that comes from experiencing a new work, a new artist together, or seeing a great master whose work you maybe had heard of because it was in one of these international film festivals, but to experience it with your community and then have the opportunity at the Filmmaker Lounge or some of our other venues afterwards to talk about it. And then talk about what you're into and what you make and what you might be excited about seeing next. It's truly very much part of the DNA of the festival and why we're committed to putting this festival on for Los Angeles.
But you too, Rick, you've been in festivals, but you also produce movies. And by understanding that, it doesn't really help anybody to sort of say this festival has stand on its own 2 feet as a magnet for nothing but original premieres. It just seems like a kind of this institutional foolishness to me.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, rewinding to my days at Sundance, when I used to program Sundance, that was very much a priority at that time, and dare I say, an obsession. You know, with the new, with seizing and unearthing that world premiere and launching it. And looking at years past and the trajectory of the LA Film Festival, I think where we do best is where we just focus on presenting, as David said, the movies that we love, the movies that we're passionate about, the artists that we're passionate about, and connecting them with audience. And the more we can devote to that and building and enhancing that experience, I think the more we'll be successful as a film festival. Now, the press is going to indeed be fixated on new stories, and we'll certainly have new stories at the festival, but we are a public film festival dedicated really to making for an incredible experience for our filmmakers and an incredible experience for our audience.
You're touching on something interesting here. You're talking about the press, and there is now a way to attract and maybe ensure an audience that has nothing to do with what we thought of as being the press that covered festivals when we were younger, which is to say the world of electronic media and social networking that you can use as a way to build momentum and build audiences outside of that the old school media structure.
Definitely. I think we're all experiencing that, and certainly distributors are experiencing that too, because the old paradigms and the old ways of releasing movies and the incredible cost that goes along with using traditional media to make a big noise has been brought, you know, under question, because some of these smaller movies and more delicate movies and less obvious movies that don't have big name talent and don't have big name hooks are really increasingly becoming reliant on that viral word of mouth that spreads in amongst audiences. And we see that at the festival. You know, there's an incredible connectivity between our audience at the festival. They talk to each other. They're tweeting and messaging about their festival experience. And again, nothing makes us happier than seeing that experience with that audience help to build the future life of those films and careers of those filmmakers.
I think it's going to be interesting this year, too, because we didn't plan it this way, but we have a lot of movies this year that are actually LA movies, you know, that they were made here, shot here, about here, particularly East Side movies, you know, several movies set downtown, several movies set in Silver Lake, several movies set in Echo Park. And I think that's going to, you know, create an interesting, since that's where we are, you know. I mean, it's going to be fascinating to kind of see how people respond to that, because they're really seeing themselves in it. And I think you're seeing not the L.A. that you usually see in Hollywood movies, you know, which tends to be more of a West Side movie.
Yeah, sure. But there was a time, and I'm sure we all remember this, like in the mid to late 80s, where you were seeing movies from that part of town. Mm-hmm. And that kind of disappeared as the independent world sort of got supplanted by the independent world capital I, which is basically making movies that were meant to be sold rather than movies that were meant to be seen.
So true, you know, and yet when you see these locations now, which perhaps we'd seen in other eras, you know, with certain degree of frequency, they seem so fresh. I mean, in addition to the independent films that, that we found and have selected for the festival that feature LA locations, we also have two of our galas are set in Los Angeles. Chris Weitz's wonderful A Better Life is set east side LA, Echo Park, looking with a view towards downtown. And we also just programmed Nicholas Refn's fabulous new genre thriller. It's like an art thriller
with
Ryan Gosling, who's so yummy, and Carey Mulligan.
Yeah, she's yummy too.
And Albert Brooks. He's kind
Albert
of
he's yummier than the two of them put together.
He's amazing
by the way.
In this movie. It's an Albert Brooks you haven't seen before.
What was your? If you can read your description from the.
My description? Well, my log line for Drive, which I will read you. Ryan Gosling is a stunt driver who moonlights as a getaway driver in a robbery that goes desperately wrong. Brutal and beautiful, Nicholas Winding Refn's film noir is as black as they come.
And it is. And I know black, so I can't wait to see what this is like. But that's, I mean, that, just having, I want you to read that because I wanted to communicate the sense of pleasure you're having in building a festival and being involved in the film the way you hadn't been before,
yeah.
David.
And I get to write. I get to write copy now.
Yes, that never goes away ever.
No.
But this.
Yeah,
this.
No, it's great to see. You know, just to get a first glimpse of this, and you know, this will be the U.S. premiere of this movie.
But that thing you were saying, getting that first glimpse, but then also not being this abstraction where you write about it and people may go or may not.
Right.
You're picking it so that you can get people to come see it.
Exactly. And they will come see this, you know. It's funny. I mean, it's a funny thing about L.A., which is known as not a particularly good town for foreign films and for art films. But something happens at a film festival. That's why film festivals are still really vital and important, because people who wouldn't go, you know, to the music hall or the new art or the, you know, the art houses will go and see these movies when it's at a festival, because it becomes an event. And it becomes sort of a communal experience, and there's an energy around it which motivates people in a way that they're not motivated the rest of the year.
Well, we're out of time, so if I can ask you, either of you, to once again state the website and the dates of the festival again.
June 16th through the 26th, and the entire lineup will be available at the time of airing at lafilmfest.com.
My guests, Rebecca Yeldman, David Anselm. Thanks so much for coming back, guys.
Thanks, Elvis. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Oh, my pleasure. Our recording engineer at KCRW in Santa Monica, the west side of Los Angeles, is Mario Diaz. The show is mixed. We do that here, too, by J.C. Swadek. It is edited and produced by Gemma Dempsey. That's very film-like of her. I'm Elvis Mitchell. I'm just the talent. It's The Treatment.
An audio archive of this and other programs can be found at kcrw.com. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.